Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll spend a few moments here, this being a special service. We'll be observing the Lord's Supper, and I believe that to be fitting, to be right. We need to do that. Amen. It is. It is good to be saved. And so I want to get it here about verse 17 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll read down here. Maybe I would like to read to the end of that chapter, to verse 34, so we got good context. Verse 17, he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." And so he's going to cover some things here. "For there must be also heresies among you." And so we'll talk about that in a moment, in case I forget. A heresy is you having a wrong opinion about a fundamental doctrine. And we're going to find out what the heresy was. Watch this. "That they which are approved may be made manifest among you when you come together, therefore, into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now, if we didn't go on, you'd think, well, why are we taking the Lord's Supper? He said, don't do that. Well, context. "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper." Now, this was the heresy. "And one is hungry and another is drunken." So they believed in the Lord's Supper, but what they were doing is everybody brought their own food, brought their own stuff, and there was people that didn't have things to bring, and they wouldn't let them eat. Now, I don't know if you all have ever had that problem. There's been some issues I've had to deal with in these 12 years at our church down there, especially when it comes around homecoming. And I don't know what it is around with that group of people, but they were, when I got there, they were making a point that if anybody didn't bring food for the homecoming, then you wasn't allowed to eat. And oh my soul, I've never been around people like that. I've been around the opposite. It doesn't matter whether you brought something or not. Everybody made enough to feed their family and another family of like size. And we're eating. It's for the church. And if you happen to be there, amen, you dig in. And so I've had to deal with some of this. And I've never had to deal with that in my life. And so that's a heresy. They had developed this thing. They understood they need to take the Lord's Supper. But the heresy was they had the wrong opinion. If you didn't bring something, contribute, then you don't get to take no part of it. And so let's read on. He says, "Now what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God?" That's what happens. "And shame them that have not." That's why they were doing it. To shame people that really didn't have a whole lot. So the motive was wrong on that thing. And he said, "I praise you not in this, I praise you not." He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you." Now this is the phrase, this is the title to the message. Things to remember, this do in remembrance of me. So we're going to talk about some things we need to remember. "Now after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Again, he talks about some thing to remember. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Is it not about the cross? Is it not about the price he paid for us? That's where the preeminence is supposed to be. That's where the focus is. It's on Christ. "Wherefore, whosoever eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak." Now he said, if you're not going to judge yourself, you want to live in sin, partake of the Lord's body, then God's going to step in. There's consequences. Many are weak and sickly among you. Many sleep. That means they were dying. For if we would judge ourselves, there we go, we should not be judged. If you won't do it, God will. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we come, we thank you. Now, Lord, help us tonight as we look here at the Scriptures. And Lord, to remember some things here in this passage. Give us light. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, this Corinthian church is a carnal church. It's real easy churches to get carnal. I got a carnal church. I don't know if you might have a carnal church. I think every church deals with that on some level. And so this church, no different. Now, they're saints. They're saved, born again. But there's a carnal church. And there was a lot of divisions in this church. A lot of different opinions and divisions. And everybody had their own little favorite preacher. I know something about that. You're carnal. You're carnal. Paul had to set them straight. He said, what, did I die for you? Did I die on the cross? No. Did Apollos die for you? Did Peter but die? No. He said, Christ died for us. I've planted Apollos water, but God gives the increase. God uses different tools and different mouthpieces. We're not all the same, thank God. And just like you like variety, you might own more than one vehicle, maybe have more than one cutting knife. God likes variety. And so he's going to use different men, and he wants to filter the truth through their personality and their character. We're not all the same. And so it's we as humans, you know, we have our favorite ball teams. We got our favorite car brands and favorite fish we like to fish for. But that's carnal stuff. And so we're talking about spiritual things. This church, very carnal. They were making a mock of the Lord's Supper. If you don't bring your food or any foods, you can't eat. You say, well, what did you do about that? I bet you told them off, didn't you, preacher? Well, I tried that once. I tell you what I did. I said, look, everybody bring something. I don't care what you got in that house. If you got saltine crackers, you bring them. If you got sardines, you bring them. If you got soup beans, you bring them. I don't care what you got. Just bring some. I don't care what you bring. You got something. You're eating something during the week. And if you don't, you let me know. I'll buy something for you. And you can bring that, set it on the table, and you're free to eat everything. Boy, that made that other crew mad. I had people bringing some sardines. We had more food we knew what to do with. I've been trying to eat all the leftovers down there these 12 years. I needed help, and I always tell the people, now you help me out. I don't want to bring no leftovers home. I get tired of eating chicken every day for the next 2 weeks, in cake and pie and all that. And so I had to deal with that. It's carnal. It's carnality. They were doing it to shame people. Now, here's some things. I want to give you about four things that I believe we need to remember about the Lord's Supper. Here in verse 24 is the first one. I pointed it out. Remember his broken body. He said, when you take this bread, it's symbolic. And we understand the Lord's Supper is symbolic, right? And he says, I want you to remember my broken body, that my body was broken for you. So he wants us to remember Calvary. He wants us to remember what Jesus, what he has done for us. He wants us to remember the shame that he bore for us. He was spit upon, his beard plucked out. He was whipped and beat with a cat of nine tails. He wants us to remember the price that was paid to redeem us. Broken body. And so by partaking, I want you to get this, by partaking of the bread, he calls it communion with Christ, his body. And that word communion means fellowship. It means an interchange of transaction. It means a state of giving and receiving. And I'm going to share with you something that I learned this week about this. Now, I believe it'll help us, but the first thing is we need to remember is broken body. And let's cover it now. Go to, you're right here in 1 Corinthians 11. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. Now, he starts verse 13 about there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to men. And he talks about Christ making a way of escape, that he had been tempted like we had been tempted. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as the wise men, judge you what I say. The cup of blessing, I need you to see that. He calls the cup a cup of blessing. Now, we'll get to that because he wants us to remember the blood, which is in the cup, the pure fruit of the vine. But he says here, remember, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. See how he's putting it together into unity? The body of Christ, watch this, behold. Now he's going to give us a subject lesson, an illustration. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partaker of the altar? Now, I was talking with Brother Samuel Girard about some things that was going on in the Old Testament and how they help us understand some things going on in the New Testament. This is another one of those things. And what our problem is today, let me get on a sidebar. We don't know anything about what God was doing in the Old Testament. We get so sidetracked on, well, the law, I don't have to keep the law to be saved. You never could keep the law to be saved. Who told you that? You didn't read the Bible and learn that. Someone told you that. And so there was a lot of things that God set up symbolically. He said they were types and they were foreshadowings of things that I'm going to do later. I just want you to do them. And he says, so they were eating of the sacrifice. Remember, they had feast days and they'd get together and offer sacrifice and then they'd eat of that thing. Now he's going somewhere with this. What saith then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered as sacrifice to idols is anything? Okay. All right. So, idolatry worship. Remember, there was a problem in the early church about eating meats offered to idols? Okay. Yep. And so, where did they get that? Well, when they were sacrificed to the Lord, they had that as part of their thing. Now watch this. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You only get two choices. You're going to drink from the Lord's cup or the cup of devils. In my church, I don't know how it is here. There's a pretty good crowd here tonight. I got some people in my church that have never taken the Lord's Supper. They're saved members. And I'm going to tell you, I learned something this week. I'm getting ready to pull it out. And it has to do with that cup of blessing. But when a Christian, a child of God, refuses to take the Lord's Supper, and it's not because of sin or living in sin, they just don't want to do it. One, maybe because they don't want to get off the couch on a Sunday night because Oprah is a little more interesting or whatever's on TV. Now that's a problem because you're not remembering what Christ did for you. Do you think the Lord said, hey, time out, boys. I got a ball game on. We're going to have to do this cross things maybe next week after the playoffs. He didn't do that, did he? I mean, he went all the way to Calvary for us, did he not? I mean, he wasn't punching a clock there, was he? I mean, he wouldn't say, by the way, I got a little business to do over here. No, he made it a point to take care of his responsibility there, did he not? And he says, so you're either going to take the Lord's cup or you're going to drink from the devil's cup. You can't do both. Now, here's the point I want to make. So many times we Americanize things. What I'm getting ready to say might sound foreign to you, but if you'll think scripturally with me, it'll make perfect sense. Remember Isaac? Remember Abraham? And remember those patriarchs of old, when they got ready to pass off the scene, that they would pass the family blessing, correct? And it was the father, the head of the household, that did that, correct? Is not Jesus the head of the church? Is not Jesus the head of the household, the head of the body? And do we not make up the body of Christ? You see, God's culture is not American culture. The Jews' culture, the biblical one, is God's culture. That's where they got it. And so here's what God's saying. I need you to take this bread and to take this cup and remember to me, but it's called communion because there's an act of giving and receiving, and he calls this cup a cup of blessing. And so here's what you're doing to yourself when you say, I'm not taking it. Now, if you're living in sin, we'll talk about that in a minute. I'd advise you not to. But if you're just not taking it because, well, I just don't like it. I think it should be done on Sunday morning. I had a group like that. I did that once. I had the Lord's Supper on a Sunday morning. That was the biggest fiasco. The Lord convicted me, spanked me, whipped me, and said, you silly. It's called the Lord's Supper, not the Lord's breakfast, and not the Lord's brunch. Oh, man, Lord. Okay. It's the supper. It's done in the evening, I think. You can do it anytime you want. I'm just telling you, I tried it once, and I had everybody under the sun. They weren't saved. They were lost. So they didn't want to be embarrassed. They were taking it, and it's just making a mockery out of it. I had people that's drinking the cup of devils all week come in. Oh, yeah, we'll take the Lord's cup, too. But here's my point. The head, the Father, when you take and partake of this, it's the cup of blessing. You're in submission to Christ and what he said. Because he says, remember, this is an ordinance. This is a command. Water baptism, Lord's Supper. They don't save you. But he said, do them. And what we're doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're submitting to our head. Is that not what 1 Corinthians tells us here in 11? He started out about the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The Lord's about order. We got to get on God's page with this thing. And so we're submitting to Christ when we take the Lord's Supper. And we're submitting and waiting on him. We're going to receive it. And he's going to give the blessing. Did you get that? What you're doing when you bypass this, I don't think it's important. You're saying, I don't need God's blessing. That's Laodicean. You're rich, you're increased with goods, and have need of nothing. You don't need God. You don't need his blessing. I don't know about you, but I need God's blessing. And I want to be in submission to my head, which is Christ, and I want to come up in obedience, and I want to give him that remembrance that I'm supposed to remember. And he said, this is the cup of blessing when you do it. I believe a lot of people miss out on a lot of God's blessings because they just won't obey. It's a cup of blessing. That's part of God's culture. You know, we don't bring our culture into God. This book applies to all cultures. We got to get on God's page, God's culture. He's our head. He's the one that passes the blessings out. So we're to remember Calvary. The broken body. We're to remember what he did for us. But then number two, we're to remember, according to verse 25, the blood sacrifice. Now this is important. There was a price that had to be paid. It was God's blood. The narrow way is the way of the blood sacrifice. It's been called a bloody religion. Cain did not like that religion. That's what Cain had against the animal sacrifice. He said, I'm not going that way. I don't like that. I don't want the blood. I'm going to do my own thing. The way of Cain was the way of works. And he said, I'm going to grow these vegetables because I can do it well. And I'm going to bring them to God. Surely he'll accept them. And God was not pleased. One, because he didn't obey. And he was breaking a type. That without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's only by the blood of Christ that we can get in His precious blood. And I'm against this new music that wants to take the blood out of the lyrics. And I'm against the music that wants to take the name of Jesus out of their song. Because we're to remember it. Cain went the way of works. Only the blood of Jesus, that's how we're saved. Romans 5:9 says, much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And so by partaking of the cup of blessing, we're identifying with the blood of Christ. It's by the blood. That's why we use pure grape juice. Not fermented, not tainted, leavened. Leaven is a type of sin. It's got to be pure. That's why we use unleavened bread. And so the cup of blessing, we need to remember the blood sacrifice. And we're coming into communion. That word communion, as I said, means the act of giving and receiving. It's an act of fellowship. And so what you're symbolically saying is, I want to be in fellowship with Christ, my head, but I also want to be in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I don't want to forsake them, and I want to remember it's about Christ, His body and the blood. But verse 28 says we need to remember to examine ourselves, because some could eat and drink unworthily. It says, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You don't have to confess your sins to me. Aren't you glad? I don't have to confess my sins to you. We have a high priest. Christ Jesus is our great high priest. There's only the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we need to examine ourselves, because God is teaching us this is serious business. The cross was serious business, was it not? His blood is serious business. I'm not comfortable with people that want to make light of it. Sometimes people have bleed-throughs. They've been caught in cults that thought that taking the Lord's Supper would save them. And so what happens when they get born again, they want to remove themselves as far as possible, and they do something that I call overcorrect. Just because certain denominations and religious sects abuse this and they have a heresy about it, doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. We should do it and do it right. And so we need to remember to examine ourselves. God takes this serious. God takes the cross serious. And if God sacrificed His Son for sin, you know, think with me now. I'm provoking you to think. If God sacrificed His Son for sin, He does not want you playing in it. He said in Matthew chapter 1, I believe about verse 27, He saved His people from their sin. Go look it up and read that. He didn't save them in it. He saved them from it. You're not to keep wallowing around in it. You see, but preacher, I sin every day. Yeah, I got it. That's why we confess our sins. We examine ourselves and we judge ourselves. And we're going to get to that. He says to remember, verse 31, judge yourselves. For if we would judge ourselves, God's saying, look, if you put the finger on your own sins and weights, Hebrews 12:1, right? Let us lay aside every weight and sin which just so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Why? We've got a great cloud of witnesses that went on before. If they can do it, we can do it. And so he says, if you judge yourself in accordance with this book, that's why preaching is so important. Maybe something that I'll say tonight, it might be little, it might be something that I don't even emphasize, but the Holy Spirit will say, bang, that's it. And you'll judge yourself. God said, if you'll do it and you'll put it on the blood, I won't have to step in and judge it for you. So we got to remember to judge ourselves. God wants a pure vessel, does He not? I mean, you don't want to drink out of a dirty glass, do you? I mean, if you go to somebody's house and he got the kids out playing in the mud and they got mud and worm juice all over them, and they're handling your glass and it's all around the top and they fill it up with water and they come and bring it to you. Do you want to drink out of that? That didn't happen, by the way. Don't read nothing into that. That did not happen. Okay. I'm using as an illustration. Because you all can get it. I don't want to drink out of that. Well, God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel either. And so he says, remember, judge yourselves. And he says, if we confess our sins, and we have them, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, watch, from all unrighteousness. He said, man, I can't remember all the sins I've committed. That's not what he just said. He said, if we confess our sins, that's the ones we can remember. He is faithful and just, not me. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. There's sins you and I commit that we don't remember, or there's sins that we commit we don't even know they're sins, but God knows. And so if we do our due diligence, judge ourselves, examine ourselves, and say, well, I know the ones I got, I'm going to confess them and put them under the blood, let God forgive me, then he'll cleanse them from all. I love our God. He's a just God, isn't he? He knows our heart. He knows when you're being sincere, and he knows that. And he has mercy and grace on us. Now, this last point, verse 33. He wants us to remember to tarry one for another. You know, we're not all perfect like the Pharisees are. It's hard to get through a day like a Pharisee without any sin, you know. And so he's telling us in verse 33, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. He wants, what he's saying is he wants to give people before they partake of this cup a time to examine themselves, a time to begin to judge themselves. It don't take long. It's not a, you don't have to get out and pray through. It can happen very quickly. Between you and God and in the pew. But we are to tarry one for another. We're to allow that time to happen so we can all do business with God, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he wants us to take that time to lay aside our sin and our weights that's besetting us. So it's important for us to do this. And the reason is so we remember Christ and what he did and the price he paid. He spared no expense for us. And then he wants us to remember it's by the blood. It's by the blood. It's the blood of the Lamb. They're going to be singing about that in the tribulation in heaven, those tribulation saints, about being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It's by the blood. It's the bloody way. It's the narrow way. It's the God way. But God wants us to take the communion so that we can submit to his headship. He is the head. And then we are humbly, in obedience, giving him the respect and remembering, and then he's going to bless. You didn't think that he would curse you for that. He'll bless you for the obedience. God puts a higher value on obedience than sacrifice. You remember that. Simple obedience. I wish I could tell you that I got it all figured out in the symbolics and the symbolism, but I don't. But I have enough figured out by the plain language of the Word of God that is important that we do this. And I'm very happy and privileged to be able to have the Lord's Supper with you. And my view on that and what I do in my church, pastor, I think, will view it the same way. If he don't, then you follow your pastor that God give you. If you're saved, born again, been scripturally baptized, a member of a church of like faith and good standing, and you're visiting my church taking the Lord's Supper, I'm going to let you take the Lord's Supper. You're part of the body of Christ. It's the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. And like he said, it's not the Baptist Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. And I believe that to be fitting and right. And so what I'm going to do is that's what I have for you. I believe it to be enough as I want us to bow our heads and give us some time here to examine yourself. Is there sin in your life? Is there something holding you back from going the next level with God? I want you to judge it, to examine it, and confess it. Agree with God. That is a problem. If the Holy Spirit puts his finger on it, say, Lord, I want to get that right. So we take this time to examine yourself and the pastor. You can come as the folks are examining themselves, moment of silence, and then I'll let the pastor conduct the service.